As we look into your word again this morning, there's something that you just added to the last two teachings I did. First one was on chewing on your word or meditating on your word. Then was on knowing you, because you want us to know you more than we know you now. And Father, you've given me something else to go along with that this morning. I stand here as an empty vessel. I thank you for your filling by the Holy Spirit, because without your anointing, these words that you've given me, this lesson that you've given me, they have no power to accomplish anything. But Father, when your words go forth, they accomplish what they were sent forth to do. And I thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters that are here. Thank you for those that are listening over the internet. And I thank you for that healing power that's already gone forth to touch all our brothers and sisters that are not here this morning, and that their bodies are being healed and being made whole. They're being strengthened and refreshed by the power in your word. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last Sunday I taught on knowing him. The Wednesday before I taught on chewing your food or meditating on God's word. And today I want to take a look at something that we're familiar with. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 30. You know, it doesn't make any difference how many times we read or study God's word. Every time we go to it, God can show us something different. Amen. Because it's a living word. It's real. And in verse 30 it says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Elizabeth was talking about faith this morning. Pastor Mark's been talking about faith. We're going to look at faith in a different way this morning, but it's not the title of the message. Because in verse 31 it says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." See, the world seeks after all those things. And we can do that as Christians too. We can get caught up in seeking after the wrong things. And the title of today's message is, what do you seek? What do you seek? Because he says here, it says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Do we believe that? Do we believe that God, our Father, knows everything that we need at every point in our life? Do we believe that? Because he says in verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That does not make sense. Because it's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek after the things that are pleasing to the Father. Seek after the things that makes God happy. But see, we've been so brainwashed by the world and the media and the marketing. You know, as Elizabeth shared this morning, you know, stay warm and all that. And Jesus is not even in the picture. But see, we need to be seeking first, and that word seek there means to inquire for, to seek for, to search for, to seek diligently. Are we seeking diligently for the Lord? Are we craving after the things of God? Are we intensely demanding the things of God? Or, well, you know, that's just the way life is. No, that's not what God wants. God wants to take us to another level, brothers and sisters. Need means to have need of, to be in want of. Now it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That word kingdom there means royal power, kingship, dominion, rule, power of Jesus as the triumphant Messiah. The power of Jesus as the triumphant Messiah. If he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, why wouldn't we be seeking after him? Why wouldn't we be wanting more of him? See, we get caught up in seeking after things rather than the Creator of all things. And that's a mistake, because when we go after Jesus, then all our needs are met by seeking him. Now, that sounds too simple, but it isn't. That's the way he has it lined up. We're to seek him. Now, Elizabeth said something about faith this morning. Pastor Mark's been talking about faith. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. 11 is what? The faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about faith. I want you to see what it says in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. We have to have faith. In order to please him, we have to have faith. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. There are some specific requirements in this verse. Number one, in order to please him, you got to have faith. Number two, you got to come to God. Number three, you got to believe that he is. You know, there's people that say, oh, I know Jesus, I've come to Jesus, but they don't believe in him because they don't understand what the word believe means. The word believe means adhere to, cling to, rely upon. That's what believe means. It just doesn't mean, oh, yeah, I believe. Well, you know, people believe in that we came from monkeys. Well, that's not true. You know, you have to be careful what you believe and what you say you believe in. If you really rely upon, are you relying upon a monkey? Are you clinging to a monkey? I don't think so. But if we're truly seeking after Jesus and seeking Jesus alone, that means he's the only one we rely upon. He's the one we cling to. He's the one we adhere to. There's a product called Velcro. Velcro knows all about adhering. Sometimes it adheres and you don't want it to adhere, but it's made to adhere to. It's got hooks and loops, and the hooks and loops love each other. When they match up, they adhere to one another. That's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to adhere to Jesus. So we're so close that it's hard to pull us apart. That's what he wants. And he says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now what's interesting is the word is impossible. It is impossible to please him. The word impossible means without strength, impotent, powerless, weakly, disabled, unable to be done. When we don't have faith in God, we're powerless. We don't have any strength, we're weak. Because who are we putting our trust and our faith in? Either one another, or a system, or a plan, or a purpose. Man, systems, and plans and purposes will always fail us. God will never fail us. Never has, never will. believe, pistuo, to be persuaded of, to place confidence in, to cling to rely upon. And diligently there means to seek out, to search for, to investigate, to crave. You ever played hide and seek? When you're the one hiding, someone has to be seeking. And what's the job of the one who's seeking? To find you. And when you've ever played that game, when you're seeking, you're looking everywhere to make sure that you find that person, right? Sometimes I think we need to play spiritual hide and seek, except Jesus is never hid. He's there for us all the time. And he's desiring for us to seek him with that same zeal that we do when we played that game as a little kid. To seek after him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. So it's important that we seek after God. It's important that we seek after Jesus. Now, what I learned when I was studying this is diligently seeking is a heart matter. It's a heart matter. Now, I'm going to take a look at a couple different situations here that I've looked at before, but I've never seen what the Lord showed me today. I want you to go over to 1 Kings chapter 3. And I'm going to read starting in verse 11. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, or hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. See, his heart was not for things. His heart was for discernment. His heart was for being able to judge the people. And so many times I wonder what would happen if we would get a heart and begin to seek after God for the things that, to be able to better discern the people we run across, to be able to better judge the people we run across. Because this was his heart. His heart was, he didn't ask for his life, a long life. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask that his enemies be taken care of. Why didn't he ask for any of those things? He already knew that God was going to take care of those things. I had to repent as I was studying for this lesson. I waste way too much time on things that are really not important to God. And how much more productive would I be if I was constantly seeking after the things of God? It's just a question I ask myself. You have to ask that question yourself too. But see, his heart was right. He had a heart after God. He had a heart after the things of God. He was seeking after the things that pleased God, that made God happy. And did God take care of every one of his needs? Did he bless him? Abundantly he did. Yeah. So sometimes I think we're robbing ourselves of God's abundant blessings because we're not seeking after him. Not the way we should be. And all of us are guilty. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles. Let's take a look at another example here. This person we know well, Solomon. I'm going to start in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thy heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, sound familiar? Neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Here's another example. What was the heart? What was the heart of Solomon? It was a heart. He was seeking after what was pleasing to God. That's what he was seeking after. And he knew that he needed wisdom and he needed knowledge. I don't see that many, but some of them that are in the class that we have Sunday school, I did a class on the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And most of the students that have had that class will always remember the right answer. Knowledge is facts, information that you gather on any particular subject. And I always asked them, I said, which would you rather have, knowledge or wisdom? Some would say knowledge. Others would say wisdom. And I said, why do you have to have knowledge? Well, you got to know what you're doing. I said, that's true. But of the two, I'll take wisdom. The reason being is if you don't know how to apply the knowledge and the information you have, it's worthless. And see, Solomon knew that. He knew that he needed wisdom. Wisdom came first, not knowledge. God never puts things in His Word without a reason. He asked for wisdom and knowledge. So they're both important. But the wisdom, he was seeking after wisdom because he knew he needed God's wisdom to be able to do what God wanted him to do in every situation. And guess what? When something comes up in our life, what's the first thing we do? Do we seek God? Or do we seek a phone number of someone we think has a lot of knowledge? Do we seek a doctor? Do we seek someone who we look up to? God's a jealous God. God wants us to seek after Him first. He wants to be first in everything that we do in our lives. But we don't always seek after Him, do we? No, we don't. But when our heart is right, that's why I think all three teachings I've done are important, especially at the start of this year, because yes, we do. We do need to chew on and meditate on God's Word. We do need to know the Lord more. And if we're doing the first two, if we're meditating on God's Word, and we're chewing on it, and we're allowing it to be digested spiritually, it's going to cause us to get to know God more. And the more we know God, the more we should be wanting to seek after and know Him even more. I mean, that should be a standard progression. And as a result of that, if we know that we have to have faith in order to please God, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, we should be seeking Him more, because as a result of seeking Him more, our faith is going to increase and our trust and reliance upon Him is going to be greater. Yes or no? Amen. It is. And we know that in the Beatitudes. What's the scripture that comes to your mind when you think of the Beatitudes? Hunger and thirst. Put up Matthew 5:6. I think it's 5:6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. If you've got a spiritual hunger for God's Word, what did Jesus... let me look this up real quick and you can put it up. John, thank you, Lord. John 4:14, or 4:13 and 14. Jesus is speaking, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, there's a living water. God's Word is living. When we're eating and meditating and chewing on God's Word, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit drinking in the living water of the Holy Spirit, it causes us to have a relationship with God that we've never experienced before. It allows us to be in His presence. And it can never be satisfied. if you're satisfied, if I'm satisfied as a Christian, I have a problem. Because I should be desiring more of God. I should be wanting to grow more. I should be wanting to eat more of this word. I should be wanting to digest more of this word. That's not going to happen unless my heart is seeking after Him. My heart has to seek after Him. It's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. Pastor Bill said a long time ago, there's two types of Christians. Those that are saved and those that are really saved. I said this on a Wednesday night. But he's right. He's 100% right. Because the ones who are really saved have a heart as Solomon had, and God saw it and took care of every one of his needs because he was seeking after what God wanted and what made God happy. It's the only way it's going to work, brothers and sisters. And we're in a time and a place in history, we can't be playing games. We cannot be playing games. And unfortunately, we're going to run across people that are going through the motion. Oh, praise God. Are they really seeking after Him? Are they really desiring to know Him? Are they spending time in God's Word? And if we don't see that, because the Bible is very clear. It says, we shall know them by their fruit. If their fruit is not producing Christ-likeness, we need to be interceding on their behalf. Because they've had a different salvation message. Just come to Jesus and everything will be okay. If you're going to come to Jesus, you better repent first. First message Jesus preached was repent. Then you got to believe in Him. Believe, you know, there's... And repentance causes a change. Repentance causes you to turn and go in a different direction. Remember David Wilkerson one time said, someone came into his office, says, Pastor Wilkerson, he said, you know, the message you've been preaching has really touched my heart, and I really, really need Jesus. And I've been praying about it, and I just don't know what to do because the line of work I'm in is not really good. And this particular person worked at a nightclub, and he goes, I don't know what I should do. And David Wilkerson said, have you repented? And she said, yes, I have. He says, what does repent mean? And she says, turn and go in the opposite direction. And he goes, there's your answer. You need to turn and walk away from what you're doing. She goes, but it's a pretty good living. He goes, you asked me, I gave you my spiritual advice, and what you do is up to you. But, you know, sometimes taking up that cross is not easy. But when you take it up and follow after Jesus, you'll be fine. Because, as we looked at already, if we're seeking Him, all those things are taken care of. But yet, we still worry. We still fret. We still get concerned. Either He's who He says He is, or He's not. And most of you in here believe that He is who He is. Jeremiah, go to Jeremiah. Chapter 29, please. Jeremiah chapter 29. We all know verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with part of your heart. All your heart. God is wanting us to seek Him with all our heart. He doesn't want us to hold back anything. Because he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has your best interests at heart. He has my best interests at heart. There's only one that doesn't have your best interests at heart. That's the enemy. He's out to kill, steal, rob, and destroy. That's his purpose. That's not God's purpose. Because in verse 12 he says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me. Getting to know the Lord, as we talked about last Sunday, is communication, talking to the Lord. And I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. If we're truly seeking after God, He can be found. He's not out there hiding somewhere. He is within. The kingdom of God is within. He abides and lives in our heart. But He says, and you shall search for me with all your heart. All your heart. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. Verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Isn't that what we just read in Jeremiah? If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. Obedient unto his voice. But see, God is there. God is there for us to find. People, we sometimes how do I say this, Lord? There are times in our life that it may not be exactly clear the direction the Lord has for your life or my life. But why do we stop seeking Him before we get the answer? Why do we stop? He knows. Sometimes we are afraid of what the answer is. But doesn't He know your name? Doesn't He know your voice? Well, the only thing that I can think of that might be the problem is we've stopped seeking Him with all our heart, and we don't know His voice when He does speak. Because there are many voices out there that are speaking to us every day. But we, Jesus says, put up John 10:10. Go to, might be 11. Let me just look it up in my Bible. Put up verses 4 and 5. 10, 4, and 5. Thank you, Lord. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. They know His voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. If we're truly seeking after God, we are not going to follow after the voice of strangers, because we know the shepherd's voice so clearly that we are not going to go after it. He says, and a stranger will they not follow. It didn't say they're going to sit around pondering. It says they will flee from him. When we're hearing voices that are not of the shepherd's voice, we should not be entertaining those voices. We should be hightailing it and saying, that voice, get out of here. You're not of God. My shepherd doesn't speak to me that way. That's a lie from the pit of hell, and I don't believe it, and I'm not going to accept it. Instead of playing pitter-patter. Go to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 15. Starting in verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought of him, he was found. If you're in a place right now where you may not be hearing clearly from the Lord, and you've kind of turned from him and stopped seeking him, he's waiting for you to cry out to him. As soon as you cry out to him, he's right there. He's right there. But the enemy will lie to you again and saying, he's not here. And as I said last Sunday, there's a reason sometimes he withdraws his presence. It seems like he withdraws his presence. Let me rephrase that. He's always here. He's always with you. But there will be times it feels like his presence is being withdrawn from you, and that's for one reason and one reason only. So that you will seek after him and draw close to him and cry out to him. That's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to do that. Go to Isaiah 55. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. See, there's a common message in the scriptures that we're looking at is that he may be found. He is near. But you and I have to seek after him. And we have to seek after him with all our hearts. All our hearts. Okay, Lord, we'll be obedient here. Yes, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Second Chronicles chapter 31, verses 20 and 21. And this did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. Listen to what he said. Listen to what's saying. It was said right here. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prosper. That's where we blow it. That's where we blow it. You've heard me tell stories up here, and my wife, it's a laughing joke with my wife and I. She always asks me, did you seek the Lord or did you pray before you started something? Because if I haven't sought the Lord, a 10-minute process may be 3 hours. Okay? But that's what Hezekiah is saying here. It says, and in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Do we seek him in everything that we do? Let's get real. When you go grocery shopping, does he go with you? The Holy Spirit goes, check out that one. Oh, buy that one. That's how intimate God wants to be with us. That's how much he wants you to know him and he wants to know us. That detailed. In every service of the house of God? Do we seek God for what He wants us to do when we come in here Sunday morning? We should be. The ones that lead praise and worship, they're seeking God on what songs? Pastor Mark is seeking God on what to deliver. I had to seek God on what to share. And I've talked to people that they get their messages from online. I'm sorry, but our senior pastor would reach up here and yank us off this platform faster than we could speak or run, because he doesn't want you as the sheep, as the people that are being fed old manna. He wants it fresh. He wants it from the heart of God. And God knows what we need at the time we need it and when we need it. And when you're standing up here ministering God's word, there's things that you will say that you're going, why am I saying that? And it never fails. Someone will always come up and say, you know, that I needed to hear that. I don't know that. Pastor Mark doesn't know that. Anyone who stands up here doesn't know that. But God knows it. Because God knows everything that you need when you need it at the time you need it. But we need to be seeking Him. We need to be seeking Him with our whole heart. Every aspect of our being. When you're in love with someone, truly in love with someone, does your heart ache when they're not around? Does your heart hurt when they're not around? You know, they say distance causes the heart to grow fonder. There's some truth to that. Because if you really love that person, you want to be near them. You want to be close to them. And see, that's what God is desiring. He created you and I to have a relationship with, and that we would desire to seek Him with all our hearts, so that we're so close. I mean, think of Enoch. Just think of Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was no more. That's close. That's close. But God is desiring that in every one of our hearts. And that comes to pass as a result of meditating on His Word, desiring to know Him more, and desiring to seek after Him with all our hearts. If we do those three things this year, brothers and sisters, we're going to be a different congregation. We're going to be a different body. We're going to be different husbands. We're going to be different parents. We're going to be different children. Because we will start looking at everything through God's eyes, not ours. And we always, always get in trouble. Frank Sinatra had that song. He did it his way. Yeah. I'd hate to know what happened when he stood before God doing it his way. See, God is desiring for you and I to seek Him. Do you realize how much God loves you? He loves us so much that he stretched out those arms. That he took a beating and abuse that no human being could ever comprehend or understand, so that we might know him, so that we might have fellowship with him, so that we might seek after him. That's how much he loves us. I ran across a statement that I shared with my two sons and my sister-in-law, and my grandson, during Christmas. And it was simply, you know, when you get ready to open gifts, gifts are usually underneath a tree or whatever. And I said, I want you to understand one thing. The greatest gift will never be under that tree. The greatest gift was on a tree. And that was Jesus. Jesus dying upon that tree was the greatest gift that he gave you and I. I'm gonna close with a song by Carrie Job. And then after Carrie Job, and after she sings this song, I'm gonna close in prayer. You wanna go ahead and play that song, Tiffany?
Overwhelmed. The more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I imagine your peace, so
we thank you. We do want to seek you more, Father. We do want to know you more. We do want to love you more. We do want to sit at your feet, Father. We want to feel that heartbeat of you, Lord. We want to be so near that we can sense that breath of the living God. Oh, move by your Spirit upon your people, Father. Cause us to be seekers of you, Lord. To seek after the things of God. To seek after your heart, Father. To seek after the things that please you. And we know that we have to have faith and trust and reliance upon you. Because without faith, it's impossible to please you, Father. So, Father, we just look unto you. Because you are the author and finisher of our faith. And we trust you. And we rely upon you. And we cling to you. Because you are our only source. You are our only hope. You are our only life. Without you, we have no life. Oh, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.